Chicago trial attorney Karen Conti joins us now. Good morning, Karen. Let's talk about the Alec Baldwin trial. Jury selection began yesterday. What kind of juror are both sides looking for?
Well, I think people, I think the defense maybe is looking for people who might look up to a celebrity like Baldwin. I think there's some idea that jurors can be enamored with people who are famous. I also think, you know, of course, you want jurors who are believe in reasonable doubt and are going to believe, you know, his side of the story. The prosecution probably wants people that I would think are more gun safety advocates, people who understand that you, generally speaking, don't shoot a gun unless you, you know, pull the trigger unless you know if there are bullets in there. And, you know, government workers, military people, maybe even police people. I also wonder if a Trump fan might not like Baldwin because of his rendition of Trump on Saturday Night Live, which wasn't very flattering. But, you know, who knows if that's even a factor.
Do you think Baldwin will testify?
You know, I think he might. I mean, unlike most defendants, he doesn't have a criminal record, and he's an actor. He talks for a living, and he emotes for a living. So he probably would do a good job on the stand, although people do say he's a hothead, and he would have to tone that down and make sure he doesn't overreact.
The judge ruled that even though he was the executive producer, that can't be brought up in this trial. That was good news for Baldwin's side. Do you have any predictions about the outcome of this?
That was a really good ruling for him because he was kind of being charged not just as an actor who pulled the trigger or at least had the gun in his hand, but also because he was involved in making sure there was safety on the set. So the judge took that last piece out. So none of that is going to come in. I think there's a lot of reasonable doubt here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the idea is that the prosecution has to show a disregard or indifference to the safety of others, and it was such that an ordinary person would anticipate that death might occur. And he is going to say that he relied on the armorer, whose sole job on that set was to make sure that there were no bullets, to make sure that the guns were safe, and to make sure that there were no bullets anywhere near the gun that was handed to him. So I really do think there might be reasonable doubt here.
How long do you think this trial will go on? You think it'll be a long one?
I don't think so. I think a couple weeks, given the number of witnesses. And, you know, it's a small town area, you know, so it's going to be, I think everything is going to move very quickly.
Last week, grand jury documents were released relating to the 2006 criminal case against Jeffrey Epstein. What do we know about these documents?
Well, Epstein was prosecuted before this last time that he was in prison, and it's amazing what was going on. The grand jury documents show that there were all these girls who were being interviewed by the government who were 14 years old, who had been raped by him, and it was bizarre because the prosecutors were almost shaming these girls and asking them, oh, were you taking money, and do you know that that's a crime, and do you know you're a prostitute, and it was really outrageous how they treated these girls. And what's also outrageous is what a sweetheart deal he got. I mean, he basically served just about a year in prison, but he didn't even serve in prison. He was able to go to his office every day in Palm Beach. The sweetheart deal he got was just inexplicable to me.
These are Palm Beach County grand jury documents. Will these be made public?
They are. And actually, interestingly, the governor, DeSantis, actually wrote a law that allow them to be released because generally these grand jury documents are not a public record, but the governor wanted them released, and yes, they will be.
Locally here, there's news about a conservative group suing the Northwestern Law School for reverse discrimination. How difficult is it to prove this?
Well, you're seeing a lot of these lawsuits, Bob, because of the Supreme Court overruling affirmative action last year, about a year ago. The Supreme Court said that affirmative action in colleges is unconstitutional. So we're seeing these groups get together and sue, saying, listen, you've got all these minorities and women on staff, and they're not as qualified as white males. But what's interesting in this case is that the staff at the law school is 83% white and 53% male. jail. So I don't know how they're going to argue that there is, you know, that there are too many women and too many minorities when it's obviously still largely white and male.
Are there more of these kinds of cases now since the court's ruling?
Yeah, you know, when we saw that, we thought, oh, this is just going to be limited to colleges, and that's what the Supreme Court really said in its opinion. But I think, you know, it's going into corporate America, too. There's all kinds of lawsuits saying all of this diversity that we've been enveloping, and we've been, you know, saying it's a good thing to bring women and minorities into corporate America. Now the argument is, no, you can't give any preference to women and minorities because it's against the Constitution. So I think we're going to have more decisions by the Supreme Court to really parse what is a good program for diversity versus what is just plain discrimination.
The suit was filed by a group called Faculty, Alumni, and Students Opposed to Racial Preferences. More from Karen Conti on her Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock WGN Radio Show. Thank you, Karen. Have a good day.
You too.